You know what they will tell you? To bring the lost sheep of Israel back in. But one problem. Remember I said that the majority of the northern kingdom, the house of Israel, Ephraim, were lost? Another mistake of the Ephraimites, the two houses, who now try to reinvent history and Bible, rewrite the Bible. Oh, don't call the Gentiles Gentiles. Call them Israelites, because they are the house of Ephraim and the house of, you know, Israel. Stop calling them Gentiles. Excuse me, if Paul can call them Gentiles, why Rami Danieli cannot call them Gentiles? And the prophecy in Genesis 58, where Jacob crosses his hands over the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he says clearly, prophetically, that the descendants of Ephraim will become the fullness of what? The Gentiles, not the Israelites, not the Ephraimites. They are going to lose completely their identity. And guess what? The big news and shocking news for the two houses. There is not whatsoever any importance anymore which tribe you belong to. There is no importance whatsoever if you belong to this house or this house, because the two, for God's sake, are becoming one. One, Israel, not house of this, of this. And God in his wisdom spread the Israelites, northern kingdom. They is assimilated among, they were swallowed according to one of the verses in Hosea. Swallowed among the nations, are you following? They lost completely their identity. They become Gentiles to fulfill the pattern of the mixed multitudes. Do you see what I mean? To fulfill, there are three in one, if you wish. Sounds familiar? Yeah. Who came out of Egypt? Israel. Already there was two houses, but they were not divided yet, yeah? Israel, which was Israel, included the northern, the southern, everything, yeah? And a mixed multitudes. Israel rejects Messiah. What happens? By the way, rejects God. God, before Messiah, they are spreaded all over the nations. They're losing their identity. They're mixing with the Gentiles. Why? To grab the Gentiles, mix multitudes in together with them. Back to the flock. God's wisdom. Remember how we started yesterday? Who can even tell him what to do? Who can counsel him? Romans 11, the end. God is wise, beloved. It is rather an Old Testament truth. The Gentiles are joined or grafted into what? The olive tree, right? And many, many in the church needs to understand this, and I'm tired to shout, but I would shout it as loud as I can. The olive tree is not something new that was invented in Paul's time. The olive tree is a concept of the remnant according to election. Those Jews, Israelites, who receive remnant always throughout the history of Israel. Even at Mount Sinai, remember when they hulad around the golden calf? Only the Levites, remember, were chosen, were after God. The 7,000 which did not bow their knees to Baal. Back then there were a million or more Jews, only 7,000. Are you with me? It's always a remnant according to election, and this remnant is the olive tree. It is existing olive tree to which the Gentiles, mixed multitudes, whether they are ex-Ephraimites or not, it's not important even. Come back to the tents of Shem. Come back to the pre-sin conditions before the sin. Come back to the garden. Come back to second, last Adam. First Adam goofed up. Here I am, second Adam. I did not come to improve Judaism for you. I did not for sure come to create new religion system called Christianity. I am second Adam. I am your lover. Come to me. And now in me you are one. One And there is no importance whether you are Jew, Gentile, Ephraimite, Israelite. Name it, don't claim it. Claim only one thing. I'm a true Israelite. I have been grafted to Israel of God, this remnant which accepted my Messiah. Come on. Jews, Gentiles, yeah, we said it. Two in one. Are all Gentiles believers, Ephraimites, Israelites? No. Again, who came out of Egypt? I told you, huh? Right? Israel, Judah, Ephraim, and the mixed multitudes. Olive tree. Okay, we said it, Israel of God. Same lady, bride of Messiah with different clothes. I mean the olive tree, remnant according to grace, Israel of God. All of those point to those elect by grace out of Israel, yeah? This is an olive tree, you see? Oh, I'm looking here, over there, yeah? This is an olive tree, right? Always within the framework of Israel, commonwealth of Israel. Never, never, Israel of God, those faithful remnant, never acted or operated outside the framework called Israel. Are you with me? One example. I'm sorry, I'm talking too much, but are you still awake? Two more minutes. You remember remember Elijah with his self-pity party? I'm left alone. After he killed the 400, yeah? 1 Kings at 19. And God tells him, what are you doing here? I love this guy. Yeah. What are you doing here? Like he doesn't know. Go do this and this. I have preserved myself 7,000 who did not bow. How come to the Baal? Their knees to the Baal. How come this? Elijah was not aware of the 7,000? I mean, weren't they separated from the other Israelites? Weren't they winged people? Weren't they haloed people? Good Catholics? No! They were part of Israel. When Israel suffered persecutions, exile, they were taken. Daniel, Jeremiah, remember? They were not snapped before the troubles came. Snapped out, yeah? I hope some of you are still awake to understand what I'm talking about. Beloved, it was always the remnant, the Israel of God, those who follow God, were operating within the bigger picture frame called Israel. Within the Israelites who did not believe in God, that's what I'm talking about. They kept the same feasts, the same days. We talked about it yesterday, remember? The expression of faith. They did not see, the first believers in Yeshua did not see themselves as separated entity. We are the Gentile church. We are well off, while the Jews, those rebels, the killers of God, they will go through tribulations. Really? Come tomorrow and you will see the truth about the end times, beloved, concerning us, Israel. Okay, I showed the examples of olive tree, yeah, the remnant, the Levites, the spies, and more, okay? Throughout the 7,000s, we spoke about it. I'm already done. The godly king. Look at the world. You see the world? Do you see those trees, little trees? What are those? Those are olive trees. Hi, olive trees. We are the olive tree. Located in, where are we? Kansas City. Nevertheless, beloved, there is one main olive tree that we need to look towards. That's what Paul taught throughout his epistles. And you see where it is? Israel. Only one center. That's where the king of this olive tree is coming to. To conclude, who is Israel, beloved? A nation who came out of Egypt, whether it's in the flesh or in the spirit, right now in the spirit, out of the world, to be kingdom of priest, royal kingdom of priests, to be light to the nation, to provoke everybody, not only the Jews, back to the tents of Shem. We are Israel, not replacing Israel 10,000 miles away all the Jews around you, your dentist, your doctor, your plastic surgeon. Yeah. Not to replace them, but rather to walk side by side with them, because there was never a separation between the two Israelites, if you know what I mean. The ones who believe and the ones who do not believe. Are you with me? Yeah. Our inheritance, our heritage, our fathers are not only Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but Moses, the prophets, the disciples who were all Jews, the king of the Jews who was complete Jew, right? We are Israel, not replacement theology. We are the Israel of God who must walk and operate within the framework called the olive tree or the commonwealth of Israel. Amen? Whoo, this was long. Now we start the question and answering. Actually, we have another 20 minutes. Let Greg be the bad guy now. Tomorrow, end time prophecies. Tomorrow, how we need to prepare for the upcoming evils. Okay, and they are coming around the corner. Okay, questions, answers, or you want to say something?
Why don't you raise your hand and I'll run over here, because if we don't do it on this, it won't be recorded. So, all right? So, back here.
And Rami, you talked about where Israel is, and where the Garden of Eden was. Genesis 2:10 talks about the Tigris and Euphrates. Is that something that's been changed? Something we just don't understand?
Or yeah.
Where are we in this deal?
It's a good question. If you look at the map, I wish I could screen it, but it's not on these files, it's on others. When you look at the map of the Middle East, including the Tigris and Euphrates, okay, you see the Fertile Crescent. Can you see it in your imagination? Babylon is here. Tigris, Euphrates, then Israel is the land bridge, then Egypt is over here, okay? There are two more rivers, Doc, dear Doc, which are mentioned, the Gihon and Pishon. Gihon, maybe in English, and Pishon, yeah? The Gihon, the Pishon. Both of them are in Africa. Two here, and in the center, Jerusalem. Now listen carefully. Moreover, scholars do not read, unfortunately, the Bible in the Hebrew, most of them. It's not that I'm, again, I did not choose to be born a Jew or a Sabra, Israeli. By his grace, I mean, it's not even by his grace, that's what he chose, that's where I am, yeah. But I do read the Hebrew, even from the Torah scroll, okay? So, in the Torah scroll, in the Torah, in Genesis 2, it says that God put a garden. He's the first gardener, yeah? In the land of Eden. I believe that the promised land from the Euphrates to Egypt is the land called Eden. That's why Abraham is called to its center. In the garden, the garden was watered by one river, and a river watered it, in Hebrew. The Nahar Yotzeke. And from the garden, it says, from there, it split into four heads. My humble opinion, Tigris, Euphrates, Gihon, Pishon. Jerusalem is in the center. And of course, I bring all the other things which are not coincidental in my opinion. Rabbis believed long ago that the Garden of Eden is Jerusalem. And it makes much more sense that it's in the Fertile Crescent. Yes, next question. By the way, the location of the garden is not a matter of salvation, but I think it is very important. Look to Jerusalem, don't look to Iraq. Yes?
When Yeshua was about to die, he said, Father, make them one as we are one. Is that in any way associated with?
In all ways associated to what I just said. In every way. Thank you. Because it is in my notes. Yeshua, all that he wanted, desired that we will be as he was with his father. Why do we want to separate? We are sectarians. We love to, I'm better than you. You know, all the thousand Christian denominations. And unfortunately, within Messianic Judaism, we have now separations, divisions. It's stupid. We should be one and neglect the stupid arguments, you know what I mean? And go back to our heritage. Even the Messianic Jews need to know their roots, probably. Yes, more.
Did I understand, is this coming on?
Yep.
It is.
Did I understand that in the end, like it was in the beginning, they were all Jewish people, and there was no Gentiles in the beginning?
No Jews, no Gentiles. They were just human beings, creations of God. That's what I meant.
But so in the end, it's like you said, and it says also it says this in the Bible, what was once will be again, or I don't remember the exact words.
I understand.
So that kind of makes sense to me that would be the way it would be in the end.
Very good. Because as it was with Adam and Eve, you see, I'm writing a book on Genesis, and I see portraits, I show portraits and pictures of Yeshua. The book is named, don't steal the name from me, Moses wrote about me. It's actually a quotation from John 4:5. Yeah. If you would believe Moses, you would believe in me because Moses wrote about me. Yeshua said it to the scribes. Yeah, and I took this. I think God gave me as the name of my book. And I show portraits, pictures of Yeshua throughout the Bible. I can show you the gospel. I can preach the gospel to you from Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4. I do not need the rest of the Bible. The rest is repetition. The story is as it was, just a second, Greg, as it was with Adam and Eve, that there were no Gentile, no Jew. It was wonderful harmony between the spiritual God and the natural, what he created. So God desires to the end. The Jews are only a tool, instruments. Jews, by the way, welcome to the club. Israel is an instrument to bring everything, to subdue everything, under God, okay? Under Messiah. So you are very, very right. The beginning and the end are the same. Yes.
Questions? Other questions? Raise your hand high if you have. Yeah.
Nobody's jumping in there, I will. You went past this elect pretty quickly. Can you be a little more specific about what the elect would be about, who?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You are elected, for example, I am elected. You know, we could not, in our own merit or intelligence, do you believe it? We could not, at least with me, I cannot grasp the truth of God, even the basic ones, yeah? That there is God without him giving me the ability, okay? I do not know how to explain it. It's a mystery because in the Bible there are two contradicting concepts. And by the way, the Hebraic mindset can tolerate them. The Greek and Latin mindset, divisions immediately. Yeah, yeah. Calvinism, evangelism. Calvinist, everything is predestinated. Why? Because the Bible says we were predestined. So are we predestined? Yep. Do we have free choice? Yep. Can we marry them? No. Hallelujah. Who said that we need to understand everything? You see what I mean? We are elect. There were attempts to understand it, you know, that you think you have a free choice, and then in the Garden of Eden, you know, when you go in, on the door there is your name. It's just, I don't care the explanations. I just care that God is existing. He is sovereign. And like I said yesterday, what is God? Leave it for God. I cannot understand all of them in this little box. I can hardly understand what I think I understand. Yeah. So we are elected we are chosen by election, yeah? Okay? We are sons of Isaac, so to speak, because Isaac was not the firstborn. I mean, you saw I skipped a few of my slides. It talked about the firstborn role, the king, the redeemer. I mean, it has many, many, much to it, you know? Why Israel is so important, why we are so important, okay? We are called to be kings, priests, we are called firstborns, but firstborn not by natural. Firstborn by election, like Isaac instead of Ishmael, Jacob instead of Esau, etc., etc.
Would mean that it would have it goes beyond the natural expected order.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly right. Yes. Mm-hmm. God chooses whomever He chooses. He's a righteous God, so He cannot be now fully Calvinist and think, like the Essenes, if you read the history, a Jewish sect. Okay. Oh, who thought, by the way, they were the first Calvinists. They thought everything is predestined. I mean, if you came and joined my club, a scene, it was because God already predestined you. I mean, you didn't have any free choice. I don't believe in it. God is a righteous God. He gives you free choice, and He also predestined. How it goes together, only He knows.
One last question. How about we do that?
On the 144,000 remnant, is that going to be which Gentile, Jew, whatever? That's the question. There is no difference.
Excellent question. I laughed because whom do you think I am to answer all those difficult questions? I have no idea who are they. I know that the literal meaning is 12,000 from each tribe. But again and again, if you consider the truth of the two houses, it can be that you are a Danite, ex-Danite, you know, and God knows it. You are Israel. That's the very important thing for you to understand. You are part of Israel. Is the gates in heaven, remember, the Jerusalem, as you know, it's not written Kansas City gate, Honolulu gate, the Maya gate, you know, but all the tribes, 12 tribes, not all of them, but 12 tribes, okay? So I tend, again, chew it and throw the you know, what is not good, because it's my opinion. It's not the Holy Spirit told me, or maybe it is the Holy Spirit. My conviction, my understanding is that it is 12,000 from the existing body. I don't think it is the Jews alone, again and again, because the Jews are only one tribe, biblically. You see what I mean? But of course, like we said, they are not pure anymore. Not now, already in the days of Jeremiah, by the way. They were not pure anymore because Doc and Nancy joined them and, you know, others. You see what I mean? So it's a very hard question. I don't have the answer for you. But I trust God that He knows His 144,000. Yes, it was the last one?
Yeah, I'll ask one.
Okay.
If that's okay. Just one thought. For those of us who maybe some of this is fairly new, what you've been talking about, some of our folks, to hear you speak of the church and the way you have, it almost feels like, you know, the term Christian is bad, the church, and I know that's not what you mean, but what I was thinking about is the early body of Messiah, which was predominantly Jewish, was called Christians first in Antioch. So it was not Gentiles who came up with that idea.
That's not true, my friend.
So or talk about that. Talk about, because maybe it was.
I don't think you're right in your interpretation. It says that the believers in Antioch were the ones the first to be Christians. But if you read the journeys of Paul, he started in the synagogues, but he did not end in the synagogues. Already in Antioch, there was a body which was a mixture of mixed multitudes, Israelites, Ephraimites, and Jews. All those three together, okay? So I do believe that, and the term Christian back then was wonderful.
Sure.
Christ-like.
Right.
Those who are called to be like Christ, those who are called to be like Messiah. I mean, yeah. We call ourselves Messianic Jews. It's a word game. It's the same, yeah? What I have against the term Christianity is I'm coming as a Jew. I want to provoke my people to jealousy. And the term Christianity was so misused in the history, especially against our people. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm sorry, great mistake. Not against our people, against my people, against our people. Yes. Now you know your place, yeah? It's unseparable, you cannot separate yourself. Okay, forget about it. So it was those atrocities, those terrible things which were done by in the name of Christianity, the word Christianity and the word Christian, in my humble opinion, lost its meaning. Mm-hmm. I rather call myself a disciple mm-hmm. of Yeshua, believer, whatever, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But in Israel, I'm more than a murderer to call myself a Christian or a missionary mm-hmm. or a crusader. Oh! You know what I mean? It's different worlds clashing.
That's good.
Okay, yeah, so it's not against, you know what I mean? I hope you know my heart. I don't bash, you say, Christianity or whatever, but I do bash, you say? You know, mm-hmm. chop the ear. I do attack with not politically correctness at all. I don't care what people will tell me. Christianity went astray. She must know her roots. She must come back home. Otherwise, she will not make it. You know why? If you don't know that you are Israel, again, not replacing for God's sake, but joining. If you don't know that you are Israel, you will, out of comfort reason, you will most likely side with our enemies. But if you know that you know that you know who you are, how can you side against yourself? How can you side against your home, your tent? Tent of shame. See what I mean? But I don't want to get to tomorrow's teaching. It will be tomorrow.
Yes, perfect. Yes. Well,
thank you so much for your patience.
Yeah, if you would like to express your appreciation, let's do that. Appreciate it.